Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us for a Marine Parks Talent Talk podcast. This is Mindy Boynton from the Economic and Workforce Development Division at Marine Park Technical College. Today, my guest is Stephen Horvath, Associate Dean of Trades at Marine Park. He's going to be sharing information on the apprenticeship programs available at the college. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Mindy.
To get us started, can you tell us a little bit about your role and the programs you oversee at the college?
Sure, I'd be glad to. So in addition to being the apprenticeship manager, I also oversee the trades programs at Marine Park Technical College. So those would be what you typically can think of when you think of the trades. So we have electricity, we have HVAC, automotive, electrical power distribution, culinary arts, and then some that would also fall under what might be considered manufacturing, electromechanical technology, and industrial maintenance technician.
You've got a real variety of programs under you. So moving forward and talking about apprenticeships, can you explain to us in simple terms, how exactly does this work?
Sure. It is actually a very simple concept, the apprenticeship. The apprenticeship itself as a training model goes back literally centuries. There are many new apprenticeships that have been developed over the last several years. Obviously, those don't go back as far or have as much history. But when you think of many of the old trades like carpentry and masonry, those sorts of things, bricklaying, those trades apprenticeships have literally been around for hundreds of years. And I'm sure going back even further in the human experience, there's been some sort of formal training process that has occurred forever. But the apprenticeship as it exists today really is very similar in its roots to how it was always carried out. In other words, it's a form of contract between an employer and an employee. So the contractual aspect of it is the individual who is wanting or desiring to become skilled in a specific area, they enter into a contract with an employer who uses the apprenticeship as a training model. So it's a very formal structure as it's set up.
Wow, I didn't realize that. They've been around for over 100 years, but it does seem like they're making a big comeback. Are you seeing any increase in enrollments or new trends in apprenticeships this year due to labor shortages?
Yes, our apprenticeship numbers have always remained strong. There are some of the new ones, as I mentioned, that are still kind of getting off the ground. But let me explain real briefly for the listeners. I mentioned a minute ago the contractual nature of an apprenticeship. So let me use carpentry as an example. So when a company decides to use the apprenticeship as a training model, then they agree that they will provide a certain skill set or make available that skill set to the employee who is then known as an apprentice. So a carpentry apprenticeship is 4 years in length. And of that 4 years, the two main components of the training are what are known as, the acronym is OJT, or on-the-job training. And then a smaller portion of it is what we call here in Wisconsin, the paid-related instruction. And one thing that's interesting, I think, and really unique about Wisconsin's approach to the apprenticeship is that we are the only state in the nation that requires apprentices to be paid while they are going to school. So, for example, our electrician apprentices come to Marine Park for a full 8 hours a day every other week as they're going through their apprenticeship. So during that time that they're here learning the academic end of the apprenticeship, they're actually being paid by their employer. And we're the only state in the nation that requires that, which, in my opinion, makes our approach to apprenticeship really that much more solid, and it shows the commitment that Wisconsin employers have to that training model. And the apprenticeship in Wisconsin has been around for 100 years, so it's got a very long history. So that's a little bit more information on how that works. As far as the enrollments, as I mentioned a minute ago, yes, actually apprenticeship is making quite a comeback in its popularity because employers or industries are realizing that due to labor shortages, they're trying to figure out ways how can they build the skill set needed for their industry or for their trade. And so many industries and trades that have relied on the apprenticeship for years are still using it. They have not gone away from it. And it's only increasing in popularity because in the end, what can be more or less assured for employers is that they will obtain a certain level of trained skill set when an apprentice completes. And for the apprentice that goes through their training, they can be assured that they're going to be getting a certain specific type of training. It's not a willy-nilly approach. There are actual concepts and skills that are trained or taught in an apprenticeship. So it's really a win-win. And yes, the numbers have remained steady even through COVID this past year. There was a little bit of uncertainty among some sponsors to continue putting apprentices on, but it really didn't come to pass. Numbers are still strong.
That's excellent. Are there any new emerging apprenticeships or areas where workforce shortages are stronger where you're seeing these increases?
Good question. Actually, of the number of new apprenticeships that have been developed over the past couple years, there's still an ongoing effort statewide among apprenticeship training representatives who work for the Bureau of Apprenticeship Standards, folks in similar roles as I have at the technical college system, to get the word out and kind of promote some of the newer apprenticeships like medical assistant, for example, or IT service help desk. Those are much shorter duration apprenticeships compared to the more well-known carpentry or electricity or tool and die apprenticeships, which are 3 or 4 years in length most often. And these are new sectors where in industry that there is not a familiarity with what the apprenticeship is. So it's an ongoing challenge, I would say, to spread the word about the value of the apprenticeship, both among employers and prospective employees who, again, would be known as apprentices if they enter into the apprenticeship.
That's great. It does truly sound like a win-win, and hopefully more employers through this podcast will gain information that can help them make decisions if they'd like to pursue. So you mentioned a few different options we have here at Moraine Park, including carpentry, medical assistant, IT. What are some of the other apprenticeships that we offer right here in Fond du Lac, Beaver Dam, and West Bend, Wisconsin?
Sure. We have a very strong electricity apprenticeship, as I mentioned. That is run through what the acronym is ABC, which is the Associated Builders and Contractors. That it encompasses more of the non-union houses of electrician contractors. And so we offer that. And also our carpentry apprenticeship is sponsored through the Associated Builders and Contractors. In addition to those two, we offer cosmetology. We offer tool and die, which is a very strong apprenticeship in the manufacturing sector. And then another apprenticeship we offer that is, again, we've struggled statewide to get some interest in is the wastewater treatment plant operator apprenticeship. So we tend to have low numbers there, but that's a much different sector. And again, an area of industry that is really, we're still trying to build the knowledge and understanding in that area of the value of the apprenticeship.
That certainly is a diverse offering of apprenticeships that we offer here. For businesses that are interested in getting started, can you share with us what are some of the steps that they would want to consider to move forward?
Sure. So the big thing for businesses or an industry to decide is the apprenticeship a training model that you want to and you want to utilize. So even if you're, say, a small electrician contractor, the electricity apprenticeship has been around for a long, long time, but it may not be a training model that you utilize. Or if you're a small manufacturer, maybe a manufacturing apprenticeship is not something you've ever used before, and you're a little bit leery about what it is. So the first step as a business or an industry, an area of industry, is you have to decide whether it's a model that you want to utilize. So the one key thing with an apprenticeship that pays to understand is it is a contractual agreement. So that's not to say that if there isn't a good fit between the employer, who is known as a sponsor, in an apprenticeship, and the employee, who's known as an apprentice, of course. If there is a, if there's not a good fit, that contract can be gotten out of. It's all done through the Wisconsin Bureau of Apprenticeship Standards. So it's not done through the Wisconsin Technical College system. Moraine Park itself doesn't conduct the apprenticeship, if you will. We simply provide that paid training. That's our role. So once a business or entity in industry decides that that's the training model that they want to employ, then they work with the Bureau of Apprenticeship Standards to simply get on the list of sponsors. And then when they have employees who they are screening for possible positions, etc., when they find a fit, then they can sponsor them in an apprenticeship and get them into that more formal training scenario.
And for some of the companies I've worked with, I know a lack of a journeyman has been one of the challenges in order to move forward. Are there any other cautions or, you know, pieces of advice that you think companies should consider beyond that and the contractual agreement?
Sure. Great question. So when it comes to entering into the apprenticeship as a training model, what companies or business entities want to make sure they understand is what are the skill sets that are required to be taught in that particular apprenticeship. And to your point, if you're brand new to the apprenticeship as a business, it's possible and probably likely you have no one qualified as a journey worker level trainer on your staff, unless by chance you have someone that you employed and they've already got that credential. But let's say for purposes of this podcast, you're starting from scratch. So you have to have a trained individual, as you said, to be able to supervise that training. But in addition, of the number of hours of on-the-job training that are required for all of this very specific skill sets, if you are not able to provide all of those, that doesn't mean you can't sponsor an apprentice. What that simply means is you have to be proactive in figuring out how am I going to get my employee that specific training. So I'll give an example that might put into context what I'm referring to. A couple years back, John Deere Corporation and out of Horicon, they've used the apprenticeship as a training model for years. And a few years ago, one of their apprentices required, as part of their contract, specific training in transformer operation, electrical transformer operation, or at the John Deere plant in Horicon. They could not provide that. So their apprenticeship manager worked with me, and I actually had the apprentice enrolled in one of my electrical power distribution courses on the Beaver Dam campus to get that specific skill set for that apprenticeship. So that's how you sometimes have to be creative, because for a 3 or 4 year apprenticeship, there are lots of different and varied skills that need to be taught, but how to do it is open to figuring out, and you know, where can an apprentice get that training and it still count.
That is a great example about how a company was creative in order to meet those learning outcomes. Can you share any other success stories or examples how companies are using the program successfully?
Sure. This last, spring of 2020, when we all were forced with lockdown overnight and how to figure out how to continue on with our program courses at the Technical College, apprenticeship instruction fell under that same scenario. And one thing to keep in mind is even when apprentices come to Moraine Park for their 8 hours of training, a lot of it is still hands-on. It's not all theoretical book learning. A lot of it is still hands-on. We have lab exercises for apprentices, etc. And of course, the apprenticeship itself is a very hands-on experience. So overnight, my apprenticeship instructors also had to figure out how can I deliver instruction that would otherwise be face-to-face and a lot of hands-on in a virtual format and still meet the criteria of the objective. Well, you know, folks were forced to really be creative and think outside the box in very short order. And in the end, employers were really supportive too. So the sponsors, as I referred to them a moment ago, they were very supportive. In case after case, they would allow their employer their employee or the apprentice to work in the office at the job site or find a place or work at home. You know, they had trust that even though their apprentice wasn't going to Moraine Park, they trusted that they were at home doing their work virtually. And so we got through all that. So that is definitely a success story. And on the backside of all of that experience, what we've done as a group of apprenticeship coordinators in the Wisconsin Tech College system is we've actually created a survey that we're getting ready to put out to employers to ask them how much virtual instruction are you comfortable with? Because maybe it's an opportunity to really shift the paradigm for that, for training for apprenticeship as well. Not go all virtual, right? You still need to learn how to measure, mark, and lay out a wall if you're a carpenter, or run a circuit if you're an apprentice. There's still an electrician apprentice, that is. There's still a lot of hands-on, but we're also seeing maybe there is opportunity to be flexible in our delivery format.
Many innovations certainly came out of the pandemic, and it sounds like the apprenticeships are just growing and evolving, which is just great. So you have shared a lot of information with us, but if there are companies today that are looking to gather more information, who should they contact here at the college or at the Bureau if they like what they're hearing and want to get started?
Sure, I can share a couple of contacts for you. I had used the term apprenticeship training representative a while back, and there are a number of individuals in the state. They all have their own individual territory, and they are actually state of Wisconsin employees for the Bureau of Apprenticeship Standards, or BAS. And the local one for the Moraine Park District, his name is Tim Buda, and his contact information is 262-335-5849. And Tim is more than happy to answer any questions you may have. He fields these questions every single day. How do I do the apprenticeship? I want to put an apprentice on. How do I do that? What is the apprenticeship? So Tim is well versed in fielding all sorts of questions from folks who don't really know much about the apprenticeship, and he's willing to help there. You can also contact us here. Terry Coleman is an administrative support specialist, and her contact information, again, Terry Coleman is her name, and her number here at Moraine Park Tech is 920-924-3217.
Excellent. So to wrap us up here today, Steve, if there were one or two things that you would like our listeners to take away with them today on the apprenticeship program, what would that be?
That's a good question, Mindy. Really, for the business side of it, again, if you're a business or an entity in industry that's considering the apprenticeship, I would ask yourself, is it really the training model that's appropriate for you? Because I can't stress enough the contractual nature of an apprenticeship. So you are entering into an agreement with someone that's actually a long-term agreement. It's not a couple-week scenario. It's a several year scenario in most cases. And so you want that to be the model that you think is going to give you the most benefit. But the flip side of that coin is it is a proven training model. It has been around for decades. And so you are assured of a skill set that will be accrued by an apprentice completer that is what you need, if that's what you decide for a training model. So that's the advice I would give prospective sponsors for the apprenticeship. For aspiring apprentices, there is really no downside. It's your opportunity is to gain a skill set that is very specific. It's not a hodgepodge approach. It's a very specific, and it's a methodical building of skill sets. And so if you decide you want to become an apprentice, again, on the backside of that, as an apprentice completer, you will have an industry recognized set of credentials that you could carry anywhere in the United States. And one last little anecdote that I like to share that is, I think, kind of eye-opening. Here in Wisconsin, the average age of apprentices is 28. So what that tells me and tells most people who are into those little tidbits of information is that once an individual becomes aware of what the apprenticeship is, they may have done several things. They may have gone to college. There are lots of apprentices in Wisconsin right now who are four-year college graduates, and they decided to shift careers, or something interests them other than an academic career, on and on. There are all sorts of different examples. But point is that it's never too late to consider the apprenticeship. They're not all folks right out of high school. There are lots of career changers, and there are lots of folks who just, it took them a while to figure out what they wanted to do. And when they land into an apprenticeship, they have come to realize that it's a path forward to economic stability and to a set of skills that will be highly valued in the work world.
Well, thank you, Steve. It really has been a pleasure having you join the podcast today and sharing information on the apprenticeship program. Really sounds like an awesome opportunity for companies once they find someone that they're ready to take on for the long term and for potential apprentices to gain skills in roles that are highly in demand, whether they are changing jobs or just getting started. It has been a proven training model for many years, we learned today, over 100. Listeners, thank you for joining us as well. If you would like to subscribe to our podcast, please visit moraineparks.edu/newsletter, and we can get you signed up, and you would also receive future training opportunities. That concludes today's podcast. Have a wonderful day.